When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. My man Turtle is in for Mike. He is off. Many of you are off, and however you're accessing the show today and listening, thank you very much. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, it is good to have you here on a Christmas Eve. And we got a lot to chop up. And I know many of you are can't wait until Santa gets there and, you know, opening gifts tomorrow and all of that good stuff. By the way, do you open gifts? If in fact, you were at home, Turtle, is it tonight before midnight, or do you do it in the morning? Do you do it at midnight? Some people do it like, hey, it's Christmas, it's midnight, and they do it late night. Others, like us, I can't do that. I've always done it Christmas morning. So I'm just asking, are you a Christmas morning guy?
Christmas morning
okay. Is
the best day of the year.
It is the best day.
It's the best day. I will say this. If I was really good growing up, Carl, Santa might have slipped one under the tree a little
early.
Just one.
Yeah.
Just one.
Yeah.
And I had to be really, really good that year. But I will say this. Did something a little different this morning.
You did?
Me and the girl started a new tradition.
Okay, what is it?
Two on the 24th. We exchanged two gifts on the 24th.
So you can open those today.
And the rest tomorrow.
Okay, I love it. No, it's good, man. It gets you excited about what's coming. I've always, you know, my parents were on Christmas morning, even if there were gifts already under there, we couldn't touch them. And so, however you are celebrating the holidays, man, be safe and enjoy. We got a lot of stuff to talk about, and we'll continue our conversation as we talked about it yesterday, because it is still big news, and that is the start for Michael Penix, and how well did he do? And I want to get into this a little bit. Miles is here today, actually behind the scenes, and running the board for us. Big O is off. Obviously, Mike is off. Turtle and I are here. But this whole thing about Michael Penix, there's a lot to be impressed with. He had probably a handful of throws in this game against the Giants that made you go, oh. And it wasn't like they were touchdowns. Sometimes it doesn't have to be that, Turtle. It just has to be a throw that you go, oh, like, did you see the release and the ball speed and how he got it out there? And I think his readiness and preparedness helped us kind of feel much better about this start. Remember, we've stockpiled all these offensive weapons, right?
Yeah.
Bijan, Kyle Pitts, whatever.
What's up, Darnell?
Whatever. Darnell. We've stockpiled Drake, all these picks and adding pieces, and we felt like this was going to be a really explosive offense. But I will tell you the biggest thing that I got out of this, and I want to get your thoughts at 404-726-0929. What we haven't done was play action enough. We just didn't, guys. We haven't done that. And when you don't respect the play action in the NFL, guess what? I'm teeing off on you.
No, as a matter of fact, Carl, we were dead last.
Okay. So now with Penix at quarterback, and by the way, he was pressured 14 times, zero sacks. Think about that. That's his elusiveness. Okay. That's his ability to move out of the pocket. Hey, I'm going to get rid of it. And he got rid of it fairly quickly. And I'm going to give you those numbers in just a second. But the play action now has been revitalized. And when I said you could open up the playbook, Turtle, with him at quarterback, and everybody's like, ah, what's it mean? What can you do? You can do a lot more than what you were doing with Kirk Cousins. And I think that in itself may help unlock this offense. I'm not going to tell you we're going to score 40 a game over the next 3 weeks or 2 weeks, but it may unlock the offense to a degree that it gives us more flexibility just having him under center.
Here's the thing, Carl. I gave credit to Mike Johnson on my weekend show. Want to make sure I do it here for the big dance, for the big audience. He pointed out something to me that was, I think, one of the smartest observations about the Falcons this season. And it was the following. As Kirk Cousins started to deteriorate, so did the playbook. By the end, Carl, the Falcons were running essentially
basic,
a few different plays.
Yep.
That was it. So, and this was my initial thought, and it echoes exactly what you just said, the biggest difference from inserting Michael Penix on the field before he even took a snap was that Zach Robinson was able to run at least a portion of his full offense again. And that would do the following. Make defenses have to respect the passing game. Because you know what they haven't done in 6 weeks? Respected the passing game. That's why the Minnesota Vikings put up 700 yards through the air, Carl. That's why we made the Raiders look like a competent football team. Not because their defense is great, but because Kirk couldn't throw the ball, especially down the field. He was throwing in a box of about 15 by 15. He could not. If he pushed the ball down the field, Carl, it was a lollipop duck throw. And defenses were all over it. Another great observation by Mike Johnson. The defensive linemen started doing the following. Rush their gap, 1-2. If they didn't break through, back those big feet up, get your paws in the air. That's why there were so many batted balls from Kirk Cousins over the last few weeks. Carl, Michael Penix Jr. is an instant fix to that because you have to respect his arm.
He had 9 throws. 5 of the first 9 throws were drops. 5 of the first 9 were drops.
Catch the damn ball.
Catch the ball. So, and it wasn't like he wasn't hitting guys in the hands. I mean, like, again, the Ray drop early. There were some drops you just went, he should have had that. But it didn't break his confidence. Understand, this is his first start. If I told you throw the ball 9 times and 5 of your first 9 are dropped, you're probably going to be like, what am I doing? It didn't affect his confidence whatsoever. We're talking about Michael Penix, guys. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Turtle is in for Mike today, 404-726-0929. These are the things that you should be confident about moving forward and what we're taking from this start. It's not about the win, all right? You got to look at what happened in the process of how he played. And he has no fear. We saw that. I said yesterday, he stood in the pocket, and there were numerous times that the pocket collapsed around him, and it didn't matter. And his first completion to London was on a third down, and you go, wow, okay, he stood in there. That's the things you need to see. But the bigger thing is he released the ball in 2.47 seconds. 1,001, 1,002, it's gone. He's not holding on to it. A lot of rookies do that in their first start as well because, I'm not sure where to go. Damn it. He didn't do that.
That was also Kirk's biggest problem, Carl.
Correct.
Because he lost his confidence in his decision-making, so he was patting that thing like it was going in the oven.
Yeah.
And that was a huge problem.
I think these things are what we should be looking for and why you should be feeling good about moving forward. Now, again, how good is he going to be? I'm not going to jump the gun. I'm not going to tell you he's going to be an All-Pro. He's not going to be a Hall of Famer. That's ridiculous. But I will tell you, these things are going to make a difference with our football team. And they're going to help our football team, specifically from an offensive side of the football. Ball speed, I mean, it sounds like we're talking about baseball. We're not. How fast does the ball come out of his hands? There were corners who were trying to trigger on his throwing motion because he's a lefty. It's different. Ball was already out. It was delivered. So that's something that we've talked about, his strength. And the other thing, Turtle, as we discuss Michael Penix, and we'd love to hear from you guys, and follow us, by the way. I may put them up, see Dukes. Follow the radio show, Dukes and Bell 929. Of course, you can always follow Mike and Mike Bell ATL as he is out chilling on vacation. Turtle, give him your Twitter handle.
Yeah, I am at C Thomas Radio. And again, Mike Bell ATL if you want to see shirtless Mike Bell pics on the beach.
I don't know if I want to do that. The other thing is the bad throws, and he had a couple. I mean, again, if you're going to break this down, you got to break it down. But again, it didn't affect his overall performance. And I think those things are important. When you start talking about how much football he played in college, how important it was, the big games he played in, I think he was ready for this moment, and then he showed us. Does he compare to anybody, do you think? When you watched him, did he compare to anybody? And I'm not talking about Mike Vick. That's easy. You're going to say he's black and he's left-handed. Stop it. I'm talking about from a quarterback position playing in the league right now. There were guys who told me in the NFL that they thought he played like Matthew Stafford from the standpoint arm strength, his ability to see the field and get rid of it. I mean, like, I thought that was an interesting comparison. I don't know. Obviously, he's more athletic, I think, than Matthew Stafford. But Stafford is sneaky, sneaky athletic. In his younger days, he's not trying to do all that now. But for those who saw him at Georgia coming out of high school in Texas, obviously you knew Matthew Stafford could put him down and pick him up. But it is an interesting comparison as we start talking about what's the projection for Michael Pitt. Like, what does this look like? And if you're telling me he's Matthew Stafford, then we're going to be all right.
Well, for me, he's a bigger version of Tua. If you want to compare left-handed, accurate, places the ball exactly where it needs to be. And you know what the upside is? He's 3 inches bigger, 15 pounds heavier, and he's got a much better arm.
Yeah.
So you want to talk about Tua in terms of accuracy. You want to talk about Tua in terms of being left-handed. You want to talk about Tua in terms of precision and reading the defenses. Those are the comparisons to me. But he's an upgraded version of that.
Yeah,
he's a made-in-the-lab version of that.
That's a great comparison. It really is. And Tua, the thing about Tua is why he is successful and potentially why, you know, it's a timing offense that he plays in. You're not asking Tua to sit back there and wait for his wide receivers to get open. This is a time, like when Tua's on, it's timing. It's not because of his arm strength or that he's throwing into these tight windows and making incredible throws. Either way, it was a really good performance by him. And we should be thinking about what it means for the future. Chiefs taking on the Steelers and Mahomes and his ankle injury ahead of the Christmas Day game with the Steelers. He says he looked just, well, I think he looked just fine, but it is a high ankle sprain. But he's going to play on Christmas Day, duh. And it's an important game because they can lock up the AFC, and he probably won't have to play that the last week of the season. We're going to talk more about what's going on around the league in our NFL Blitz. It's Dukes and Bell. Chris is in for Mike today as we're discussing a bunch of different things. And yesterday, as the news came out about Carson Beck, again, he had surgery in L.A. On that UCL.
Yep.
And
essentially Tommy John surgery.
Yeah. But to what – see, and this is what I don't know. I don't know if anybody does. To what extent was the damage, right? Like, was this an easy procedure? Easier than normal, or was this an extensive, long, you know, three-hour kind of surgery? I don't know. We don't know.
I'll give you two examples.
Yeah.
And I know this just because it happened to somebody on my favorite baseball team. There are two types of UCL surgeries that you can do. One is a brace procedure, and the other one is the extended regular surgery procedure. One of them cuts the recovery time down by a couple of months.
Well, that's what this looks like.
But it's a little riskier because it's a newer procedure. So there's always a greater chance that something funky happens.
Yeah, it may happen.
The regular Tommy John procedure is the one that we know from baseball.
Takes
9 months to a year.
Yeah.
But the thing about quarterbacks, though, is, Carl, the way that their throwing motion is affected less so than pitchers. So their recovery time from this surgery is usually a little faster than a pitcher. So that's what we know right now.
Well, they're saying a full recovery. Again, the report's expected to be throwing at the beginning of spring of 2025. All right, so that's what? January, February, March. We talking about April? Spring?
He's not coming back, Carl.
No. I'm talking about to get on track. Just to be able to throw and get back to, you know, doing quarterback things. I mean, is that March or is that April? I don't know. When you guys talk about spring, either way.
Well, he's got to be ready. But the draft is in April.
Yeah. And that's the issue.
He
won't be able to throw, whether it's his pro day, even if he waited till the end, like the last possible opportunity, it still won't be. I don't believe it'll be enough time. So now you're talking about Carson Beck, who came into the season as potentially the number one overall pick. Do we forget this?
No.
He came into the season as potentially the number one overall pick, and we were talking about it as such, and then the game started playing, right? And they started happening, and we know that, you know, at times he struggled. I've been saying this. I think he's still a top quarterback in this particular draft because this is not a draft unlike what we saw last year where, you know, you had, what, six quarterbacks taken in the first 15 picks. I do think Shedeur Sanders is the best one in this draft. If I had a pick and I'm the Giants or whomever is going to get the first overall pick over the next 2 weeks, that's who I'm taking. But for Carson Beck, the size, the arm talent is there. The problem is when you have had as many drops as he's had from his wide receiving core, it diminishes your performance from a quarterback standpoint. It looks bad on Beck because, oh, it's an incompletion, but in fact, it's really on the wide receiver or the tight end. And guys, I'm telling you, the scouts I'm talking to in the NFL are like, look, kid can make all the throws. He's legitimately an NFL high-caliber guy. But the season, it doesn't feel that way. And I think a lot of people have watched this and said, well, you know what? He's okay, but he's not great. And I just think you're missing the boat. His skill set is totally NFL. Is he going to be a top pick now with this injury? That I don't know. I don't know how teams look at this and the recovery time, as you've talked about. But I do think it's a big deal for Georgia. And that's what I want to spend a little time on here. Because now you're solely counting on Gunnar Stockton. And I say solely. Obviously, you don't want your backup to be playing in these marquee games. But Gunnar, is he good enough to get this done? And I keep hearing from Georgia fans like, Dukes, what are you worried about, man? The defense will take over. When has that happened this season?
Texas.
One game?
Pretty big one.
I don't see – this is not the 2021 or 22 defense.
No, it's not, but it's still good. And by the way, for everyone hating on Carson Beck, you clearly haven't looked at the numbers. I know it feels like he had a bad season.
It does.
He still threw for 3,500 yards, 28 touchdowns, and only 12 picks. He's an 81 overall QBR. Because you know what it is, Carl? He finished red hot.
Yeah, he did.
That's why it's a shame that he got hurt. Because he was on his way to course correcting a lot of the issues that plagued him in the first half. But getting back to now, I mean, here's what I think the Dogs can rely on. The good teams have shown you who they are, Carl. So you know exactly what you're up against. You know what Ohio State's going to do to you. You know what Notre Dame's going to try to do to you. You know what these teams are that are left. Because last time I checked, that first round was pretty damn chalk. So what is Gunnar Stockton preparing for? Something that is very easy for Kirby Smart and his staff to get a handle on. So what I think that's going to translate to, Carl, same thing with Michael Penix. Very similar. They're just not asking him to do too much.
Is that going to be enough to win a national championship, though?
If you keep him under control, which is your only worry, because that interception he threw was bad in the SEC championship game. That's what you need to not have.
But that's lack of playing time. That's lack of seeing the field and lack. That's all that was. It's not. I don't think it was anything less than I'm just trying to make a play and I'm going to throw it. I agree. But I don't know if that's good enough to win a national championship. Guys, Stetson Bennett needed to be special when they beat Alabama. And he was. He came in second half. We talked ad nauseum about this. And it's funny because as time goes along, we just kind of forget. We needed Stetson Bennett to be great. He was. And I don't think you can go into these playoff games, whether it's Notre Dame or beyond, and just say, I need average quarterback play and it's going to be good enough. Maybe you're right, Turtle. Maybe that's enough. I just don't think it is.
Well, let me ask you this. Other than Oregon, which I'll give you,
yeah,
who's that team?
You're going to play better quarterbacks. Listen.
Will Howard? Come on.
Say what you
Drew
want.
Drew Aller? I mean, he's playing well.
He is playing well. I mean, this is the deal. Say that, right? You say that, and I think you're being a little biased and not giving these guys credit. But if you ask me, in Georgia, again, if they get past Notre Dame, they get either Penn State or Boise. If it's Boise, everybody's going to be like, that's going to be a blowout and don't matter, right? The quarterback play won't matter because you may be able to do whatever you want. I just don't feel that way.
I don't feel that way. You're going to let Ashton Gentry run for 300 yards on your face?
No.
I don't know.
I don't feel that way. So I'm not going to disrespect Boise. If it is a blowout, so be it. But I think Allard, yeah, if you told me it's going to be Penn State and Georgia in the next round in the semifinals – at the Orange Bowl, yeah, I'm giving the nod to Allard. Absolutely. He's played a hell of a year on a team with high expectations. Gunnar Stockton has just been watching, with all due respect. He's just been chilling and watching. Now this is on you. Now you've got to go do it. So I hope that he can. But let's not downplay this Carson Beck injury. For as much crap as you may have talked about Carson Beck, this team was better with him than it is without him. Turtle, if he wants to come back, do you accept him? You say, hey, come on back, be my starter next year?
Depends on how Gunnar Stockton does in these playoffs. It's very results-oriented to me.
So if he doesn't win it, you allow him back. If he wins a national championship, he's gone.
If they lose to Notre Dame,
yeah,
boy, we'll break out that checkbook for you. Come on back now. Come on down, you hear? We'll get all those automobile shops and everything else to pony up for you. If they win a natty, I'm sorry. I don't know what else to say. Like, you got Wally pipped. I hate to put it that way, but you did because Gunnar Stockton came in, Duke Sism, when the lights were shining the brightest.
And he got,
and he
it,
got
done.
It done.
Yeah. Yeah. And here's what's crazy. The Carson Beck thing, this is what Turtle's talking about at the end of the season as he got hot and he's playing really well. We get back to the draft and we get back to the NFL. And if this was Carson Beck, talk about playing your way in. Guys, you can play your way in sometimes into these top picks. If he performed at a high level over the next 3 weeks and they win a national championship and Georgia's offense is humming and he's just rolling, you start to look at him differently. And it is about the last time you saw somebody, right? You watch and you go, last time I saw him, man, he was on fire. Like, that sticks with you. And so he could have maybe played himself into a potentially higher draft pick, but he's not going to get an opportunity to do that now. So I think nothing's changed, by the way, for Kirby Smart and their approach and how they're going to practice for this game or this game and beyond. But to say that you trust wholeheartedly the quarterback position and that it's good enough to win a national championship, I can't say that. I cannot go there yet. Maybe Gunnar Stockton is that dude. But many of you, after 8 or 9 starts, didn't trust Stetson Bennett to be that guy. And he had shown you that he could play.
No, he did. But here's my question then. It sounds like to me that you don't trust Georgia's defense. Because it's not...
Not as much as I did.
It's not half a field, Carl. You got to play both sides of the ball.
You do. You do. And the thing is, for Georgia's defense, again, I mean, the Texas game, the second game, hard fought. And, you know, they went in overtime. The first game was total dominance, right? And if you're going to say that's the best team they've played, is Texas better than Alabama? I don't know. But they're in the second round of these playoffs, and they may be in the national championship. If that's the best team you've played and that was your best performance and you can give me that if you're Georgia, then, yeah, you're going to win a national title. But can you do it 3 weeks in a row? See, that's the question. And you're going to see three different types of offenses when you talk about if it's Penn State or Boise and then moving on from there potentially in the – I mean, Oregon or Ohio State, even if it's not Texas, even Arizona State presents something a little bit different. But I just feel like people look at this and they go, well, Georgia's going to dominate any of those teams they may see. And I'm not willing to go there with this situation at quarterback. 404-726-0929. You guys can hit us up. Text us. Let us know what you think. We are hanging out on a Christmas Eve. Merry Christmas to you and your family. Thank you guys for being here. As always, we're going to come back. You see what the Hawks did last night? Another quality win. And how are they doing this? Seriously. We'll talk about it coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. He's put him in a very good role. He understands what his role is. He had 10 points last night, but his defense was critical. Trey, 29 last night. What do you have, 7 assists? I mean, he's still leading the league in that category. But let's talk about the bench, man. Bench mob!
Without Bogey.
As we like to say, yeah, Hunter again, 19 points. Gary Bird, that's Gary Matthews, 25 points. I mean, that
he was 7 for 8 from 3.
It's crazy. Yeah, exactly right. He was hot last night. So it's a big win, man. That's a good win. Minnesota, we forget last year, was vying for an NBA championship, got deep in the playoffs. We know that that's a team. And at some point, I don't know what it is about them, by the way. That thing hasn't mixed quite like I thought it would
yet.
Well,
the Carl Anthony Towns trade has been an unmitigated disaster. Julius Randle looks like he doesn't want to play basketball anymore.
Yeah.
Dante DiVincenzo publicly scorned the trade, saying, I would have rather stayed with my buddies in New York, and it's been a disaster for them. Carl Anthony Towns, by the way, is playing MVP basketball for the Knicks.
He is.
So that's a huge problem.
Yeah.
They thought they were the winners of the trade because they got a 25-point-a-night guy in Randall, and they got a sharpshooter in DiVincenzo.
Didn't happen.
Carl Anthony Towns is balling.
Yeah. Look, I said it when that happened. I like that trade for the Knicks, and everybody said, no, it makes them softer. I don't believe that. Either way, Hawks are playing well, and here's the deal. Here's where I'm saying, or where I'm going with this. They're going to be a problem as the season continues. This is only going to get better, and the key is knock wood health. I said, let's evaluate this team once we get everybody healthy. Everybody want to jump on. Guys, we were winning with G League guys at the beginning of the season, right? I mean, Hunter was hurt. Bogey was hurt. Think about it. And the bottom line is you get to a point where you say, all right, we're healthy. Now what does this really look like? You see your rotations. You see guys contributing. I think this is a fun team to watch, and they're going to be a problem simply because everybody looks at them and goes, I don't think they're that good. And then you get on the floor, and they're playing D, and they're getting steals, and they're getting breaks, and Jalen Johnson's dunking on your head, and all of a sudden – Trey's knocking down threes. It's a different deal. So I like what I'm seeing. They play again on Thursday against the Bulls here at home. They got a couple games at home over the next few days. And then they play on Saturday, I think at 3 o'clock, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hawks in Miami on Saturday.
Here's the other thing, too, Carl. They're playing under the radar.
Yes.
And that is so important for their identity. As Trey reestablishes his identity as the leader of this team, which I got to admit, I'll raise my hand, he's done a damn good job. I didn't know if he was going to be able to do it. He's done it. Not only has he done it, he's excelled at it. And then you have the unknown, which is the Hawks' biggest strength right now. Nobody in the league knows Zachary Richechet. Nobody in the league knows Dyson Daniels. They all think DeAndre Hunter's a bust.
Yep.
Because he was.
Yep.
But to be fair, until now. Jalen Johnson is an all-star. Nobody knows that. So you, as you just said perfectly, you take the floor with these guys, and you're like, Trae Young and a bunch of dudes?
Exactly.
And then you're like, oh, no.
Yeah.
They can play.
I had my boys, B. Rich called in yesterday, Trey, their friends, and Trey, happy birthday to you, by the way. He turns, I think he, I'm not going to give his age.
27?
His birthday's coming up. He's got a big one coming up. But they said to me, they said, Dukes, you apologize to DeAndre Hunter? And I said, for what? He didn't do anything the last 3 years. I'm not apologizing. You're playing up to your ability now, and oh, I'm supposed to get on my knees and say I'm sorry? No, it doesn't happen that way, D. Hunter. This is what I asked for. You can rewind the tape from 3 years ago where I said, can he give me 16, 18 points a game? Now, the difference is he's coming off the bench, and I think it's the best thing that ever happened to D. Hunter, and I love what he's doing. But let's not act like the last 3 years didn't happen where we were going, man, where's D. Hunter? I need him to play better. I need him to be better. Blah, 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 blah. Now he is. And for whatever reason, well, I don't care why it's happening. I love it. This is what I thought we were getting when I saw uneven performances game in and game out from him at the start of his career.
Well, you just hit it. It was 7 points, 8 points.
No points.
9 points, no points. 26 points, 11 points. That was the and we were promised that he was really good on defense.
Yeah.
But you know what he can do now? And this was my favorite thing I ever heard from him. He said, when I'm sitting and watching from the bench, I can diagnose what I'm seeing on the court in a completely different way. And you know what that's evolved into? He is now a complete.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Player when he plays. It's not all or nothing. It's not either good defense and 7 points. Now it's 16 points and very good defense. So you know what, Carl? Congrats to you, D. Hunter. Congrats. Still doesn't take away the last 3 years, but still, kudos on what you've done. You found your place on the Hawks. And Carl, we will say, a lot of people thought his next place would not be on the Hawks bench. It would be somewhere else.
Yeah, because, again, he wasn't living up to it. I mean, he had 26 against the Grizzlies in that loss the other day, and the second half he carried. The Hawks were getting blown out, and he carried the team. That was the game Trey missed. But this is the thing, and the part about this, the bigger picture is, if I'm telling you now that if we get into the playoffs, and I don't know what the makeup or the composition of this team is going to be, but you now have, with Jaylen, three legitimate scores that you've got to deal with. And, oh, don't forget about Bogey. Like, that's the key. And you said it. Rishai Shea will knock down some shots for you. He'll play some D. I love the fact that this kid doesn't have to come in and be the man. He can just play and learn and get better every day. Hawks win last night. That's why we're talking about it, guys. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Because they weren't a last-place team, Carl.
They were
That's
what?
The thing. They weren't a last-place team. They were a team that was fledgling, yes, but they were not a last-place team. So when you upgrade a team like that with the number one overall pick, that number one overall pick can do something completely different, like, let's say, what Wemby had to go in and do his rookie year and be the man. Risa Shea doesn't need to do that. He can grow into his role as an NBA player as opposed to saying, hey, go score 25, but half of those are going to come in garbage minutes, and most importantly, you're not really going to learn how to run an offense from it. Yeah. Risa Shea has that opportunity now.
He does. On the Twitter, I do not call it X, my man. I'm trying to see here. I want to make sure I get it right. Dare ATL says, Dukes, I love the show yesterday with Zeno. Zeno just kept us in check. Look, and I love Zeno, too. We were just simply talking about, I can't handle it, how he gets sometimes. And when he comes in and it's like, Mark, are you really serious right now? But I love the show, too, and I love Mark Zeno. I do. He's a great guy. I hear you. He's saying we needed to be kept in check because this week it's going to get exciting. Speaking of talking about the Commanders, like, this is a bigger challenge. And I'm with you. I get that. But this idea, like, you could have thrown anybody out there, it didn't matter, oh, it couldn't have gotten any worse, we didn't know that.
Kept in check is such the wrong phrase, Carl. You know why? Have you seen the last month and a half of Falcons football? And you're telling me to be kept in check? Go scratch! No! We had the worst quarterback play in the NFL. Kirk Cousins went 1-4 with 1 touchdown and 9 picks. And you're telling me to keep it in check? When we see what Michael Penix did on Sunday, I don't care who it was against. I don't care if Alabama came up and played the Falcons. I'm happy about what happened. We saw that we have a chance now to go make a playoff run. Don't tell me to keep it in check. I will not, sir.
404-726-0929. Maybe you were like Toto. Maybe you don't want to keep it in check. Appreciate it. All the texts and tweets coming in. Vicky says, so glad to hear you guys live today. Well, Vicky, we don't take days off. Okay, I do, but not today. Tomorrow I'll be off. Most of us will be. But I hear you. Thank you, Vicky. And thank you for listening as always. And Merry Christmas to you and yours. All right, we're coming back. We got to get to an NFL blitz. There's a lot going on around the league. Jamar Chase is breaking his own records. He's about to break the bank, too. They should have cut the check before the season. Instead, they said play it out. Oops, that was a mistake.